This is Doug Green, and I'm the publisher of TR Publications. And today we're interviewing Hannes Grelder, who is the CTO of RT Brick. Hannes, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Doug.
And we also have with us Richard Brandon, who's the Vice President of Marketing also at RT Brick. Richard, thank you for joining me.
My pleasure.
So this is going to be a very interesting podcast. We're going to be talking about how telcos are moving towards a cloud-native approach, and what that means for a market and industry and so on. But first, Hannes, what is RT Brick?
Well, let me start out here with the founding story of RT Brick. We started the company back in 2015 together with Praveen Bandakar. We have been both working together at a large Californian router vendor. Praveen was my product manager. And we have been on a West Coast trip visiting some of the hyperscalers. And on that trip, we got to know that the hyperscalers, and this was back in 2012, 2013, started to procure their own hardware equipment from OEMs from Taiwan and just put their own homegrown stack to it. And ever since then, we started wondering if that trend of disaggregation, network operators purchasing hardware directly and adapting it to their own use case, if that is ever going to spill over into the traditional telco world. And if so, well, we wanted to be the company who has the software to make that happen easier.
So that sounds a little bit ambitious. I'm kind of wondering what made you think you could take on the established giant networking vendors?
Very simple. I mean, if you look at all the traditional OSs, they are between 15 to 20 year old, right? And software at that age doesn't really age that well. There is lots of dependencies, lots of every time you try to refactor certain parts, every time you touch the software and try to expand it or bend it in a certain way, it breaks apart. So because it has been designed and engineered having the hardware scarcity of the late 90s in mind, right? And this was the age of Pentium 2 processors, 256 megabytes of main memory. And because of that, the software has very tightly been written on that hardware. Now, we don't really have that situation. CPUs got by three orders of magnitude faster, memory almost by four. So we can actually now start to invest a bit in modularity, into common frameworks, anything that makes software development really faster. And that's what we did.
I think, Hannes, to add to that as well, I mean, one thing we did see early on was there was an appetite amongst the big telcos and carriers we spoke to. You know, they were looking around over their shoulders at the big cloud native hyperscalers and going, how can we have some of that? And so we saw the appetite there. But as a traditional vendor, as a traditional router vendor, you've got no incentive to break your model up and start selling hardware separately to software. So that, I guess, was another kind of green light for us to go for this space.
And Richard, I understand that you've now had success with a really big company, Deutsche Telekom.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure Hannes can add a bit more. But we are providing, as of just before the end of last year, we went live in Deutsche Telekom's core IP network, providing the software that's running their new broadband edge, so the BNG, Broadband Network Gateway software, running on commercial off-the-shelf switches in that. That's the biggest telco in Europe. They've got about 20 million broadband subs, so it's had to scale, and you know we've had to make that pretty robust, as you can imagine, to get through all the gates we've had to get through.
And Hannes, maybe you can give us a little bit of insight into what that looks like.
In a nutshell, what we have done is really breaking down a traditional chassis-based router into discrete parts, right? If you look at the chassis-based router, there is usually vertically the line cards, right? Then there's a couple of fabric cards, and then there's a route processor, which holds the control plane software. So what we did is actually breaking that apart and modeling the fabric cards as dedicated spine switches and the line cards as leaf switches. Again, this in itself is not much of a revolution. The data center operators showed how to do that. What is now different that actually telcos started for doing their use cases. And, in the data center world, the use case is they want to build a big, big fabric to connect to a large number of servers and, of course, connect it to an internet upstream. And in the telco land, we connect that very same internet upstream, not just to servers, but also to these lands, to optical line terminals, to GPON concentrators, to point-to-point, so directly to households.
So Hannes, maybe you can explain to me what you mean or what we mean when we say disaggregation, and then I'd like to understand why that means improved choice.
Well, if you look at it right now, you can pick from, I would say, almost a monopoly, right? There is four or five vendors with suspiciously well-aligned price lists, and there is not really much of a choice, right? Quite contrary, if you actually do the breakdown and look, hey, what is inside those boxes? What is inside those line cards? How much would the components cost on the world market? You figure out that there is almost a difference of 1 by 10, right? Service providers really like is that they can source those very same hardware components when there is a dozen of OEMs that compete for their business.
And I think as well that linkage is also a real barrier to choice, because at the moment you make your traditional hardware vendor selection, and if you make that this year, then you're probably still running that same hardware coming up to the end of 2030. You know, that's going to be in your network a long time. So the services you can then offer your customer, you are constricted by the software and feature set that come from that hardware vendor that you chose this year. You have no way of divorcing those two things. So one of the most powerful things that telcos are looking forward to with disaggregation is that separation of what the hardware vendor is doing and what the chipsets are doing with the services that they want to end up offering their customers, because they don't have to rip out this hardware to go and put some new software on it. They can keep using it.
So are other telcos looking at disaggregation for their IP networks?
I would actually add one more thing, right? If you actually look at that pattern, how to solve that problem, it has been applied before. Remember, there was once a search engine called AltaVista, right? And AltaVista, because of the backing of Digital Equipment Corporation, had the biggest, baddest processors to power that search engine, right? And then in comparison, there was a smaller player also offering search engines services called Google. And they had a very revolutionary approach. Rather than trying to build a bigger, better servers, they actually have put the bets on that the market will actually make commodity devices to converge at the low point. And this is what has happened. And therefore, they have also had a competitive advantage, scaling up the search engine business.
But to come back to your question as well, who else is doing this kind of stuff? There's a number of relatively high-profile initiatives that is, I think are just kind of coming out in the last year or so. There's a number of people looking in the mobile space in the RAM, at opening up their RAM, and I think operators like Rakuten would be a good example there. In the core space, I think AT&T are doing quite a lot of work with their core routing function. And then in the edge, where we're operating with Deutsche Telekom, we've actually seen something which I've never seen in my what I'm embarrassed to admit is now decades in this industry, which is four traditionally competitive telcos come together and jointly issue a paper saying this is what they'd like to see, and that's that those four are Deutsche Telekom themselves, BT in the UK, Telefonica out of Spain, and Vodafone. And they've all put their names to a paper sort of basically saying we need this disaggregated software and this call for this house, what they're calling their open BNG, which is exactly what we're providing into Deutsche Telekom.
Let's turn to security for a second. As I think everyone knows, as the major providers go forward, there's been a lot of talk about how the Chinese vendors who supply these platforms may also, in fact, be security risks. So I'm wondering if disaggregation could be part of a solution to this challenge.
I think it could. I mean, you might want to pipe up on this as well, Hannes. But one of the attractions that when the Chinese vendors kind of came on the scene seriously outside of China, of course, they've been operating in their own market for a long time. Frankly, one of the reasons that they were appealing was that they were very good value for money. They were not in the old boys club of networking vendors, and they were financially quite compelling. And initially, people were like, yeah, okay, but it won't work. And it turns out it did work as well as being cheaper. So it's hard now for telcos to wean themselves off that on an agenda of national security. But one of the interesting things about disaggregation is that once you separate out that hardware and software, you can still go to parts of Asia where you can get extremely economic hardware, and Taiwan's a good example here. So there's a lot of manufacture of top bare metal switch performance boxes coming out of Taiwan. So you can get those for a fraction of the cost of even the Chinese equipment. But then you can make your software choice independently. So you can, it's the software where the risk lies. If anybody's going to start diverting packets to their national infrastructure or security, snooping systems, it's the software that needs to do that, not the hardware. So you've got the opportunity to go to a country to buy your software from, and yet still benefit from that kind of Asian price point on your hardware. So actually, I think, people aren't talking about disaggregation in that regard, but I think it could be a really important part of solving that risk.
To add to that, what Richard just has said, what is also interesting to see is what is the software integration point with those vendors from Taiwan. And usually we actually integrate using open source packages, open source base OSs like Open Network Linux and Sonic, right? Where there is full source transparency. And that full source code transparency actually also makes the qualification with tier one carriers much more easier, because we can say, hey, look, this is in the public, right? This is the patch set that we applied to that. Please have a look at your security teams there. This is what we ultimately will compile and put into production.
So I'd like to bring our discussion back to RT Brick. How do you help companies take advantage of this?
We do as a company is we have one product called RouteBrick Full Stack, and as the name suggests, it's the full stack of software that you need to run a disaggregated project. It starts on top with a management plane. Then we have the control plane, routing protocols, ISIS, BGP, BFD, all of that. Going really down to user space, TCP/IP stacks, and then driving the hardware abstraction, and ultimately a very lean hardware-based plugin such that we can quickly adopt new chipsets and new platforms.
So in essence, what we're doing with our software is you run that on a bare metal switch running Linux, as Hannah said, and you converted that bare metal switch from a piece of hardware into a fully fledged carrier MPLS router.
And it sounds like the big thing here is very attractive is this is a path to liberate yourself from being married to one OEM or manufacturer, or even the issues connected to that, such as point of origin for the equipment.
Yeah, absolutely. And even within, I mean, if we look at what's happening in Germany, even within a single sort of leaf and spine architecture, there's no need even to use the same vendor for the leaf switch to the spine switch. So the one that's facing the network versus the one that's facing the subscribers. And it would be a bit like saying, I tell you what, I'd like to buy my router chassis from Cisco, but I'd quite like my subscriber cards to come from Nokia and my network cards to come from Juniper, and I'm expecting them all to work. But that's the world we're in now.
It makes sense to me, because I think for some time we've been really basically divorcing the maker of the hardware from the software and moving to a world where the software should really work on any server.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is the essence of disaggregation. And because of the sort of scale that you have to run in this network infrastructure, it's not been trivial to get to the point we're at now, but we are there now. You know, it's, we can scale to tens of thousands of subscribers, hundreds even on these systems, and even faster routing protocol convergence, when they have to relearn the routing tables, and even faster than traditional systems. So we've really caught up and surpassed the scalability of existing chassis-based systems.
It also occurs to me that it allows possibly telcos to shine. In other words, to create customized solutions or inventions all of their own, and to take the hardware that they've got to something new.
That's absolutely correct, Doug. Usually the low capex rate of working markets, I just call this sometimes the gateway drug, right? This is what our customers initially get hooked to look at our solutions. But then once they start digging themselves into, they start to realize, hey, wait a bit, you have actually exposed all the low-level primitives, instantiating VRFs, pseudovars, shapers, calls, just using a very simple API. Does that mean I can build now my own products without begging, let's say, the PLM of traditional vendor? And the answer is yes, you can do that now. We have essentially exposed you here, all the building blocks or bricks, as we say it, to really build your own service. And this is what customers really are fascinated by, because they can now offer things that perhaps the competitor cannot.
So Hannes, I'm wondering if you could describe if there's a path, a number of things one should do if you're a telco to get to the point where you can take advantage of this disaggregation.
Right. There is usually two school of thoughts here, right? There is one school who says, hey, we just want to run the network, right? And then there's another school who says, hey, we want to actually get to a more modern IT-like workflow, with all the automation tools, with consistent integration, consistent continuous development pipelines. What we have seen in the past, working with our service provider customers, that retooling, that takes some time and some conscious efforts. You cannot just simply take a couple of router jockeys and say, hey, you now run the disaggregated networking. No, they need to be familiar in automating things, running Kubernetes clusters, and get a bit used to the cloud native workflows.
Well, Hannes and Richard, thank you for joining me today. This has been a very interesting conversation about telcos moving towards a cloud-native approach and also specifically about the nature of disaggregation type of opportunities it might hold for the telcos. Richard, where can we learn more about RT Brick and also this topic?
Well, of course, you can come to our own website, rtbrick.com. We've got a few white papers and technical introductory papers there. And there's quite a nice video collection as well, where you can actually see this working in action on, you know, in real deployment situations with real traffic flowing through software on a bare metal switch.
Well, again, Richard, Hannes, thank you very much. I really enjoyed learning about this topic, and I'll look forward to doing this again soon.
Likewise, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Douglas, for your time.